Thank you very much, and it's nice to be back here. A couple of weeks ago, I was here in Denver for the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, and now back for the American Public Health Association. The preparation for this meeting was extensive, and I'm usually pretty prompt, and so I was prompt in sending in my PowerPoint, which may take up all the time remaining. So to avoid that, I might click quickly through some photos that are easily clickable. Forget that. I'm basically claiming that there are two food systems. One, the industrial food system, which is giving us most of our food and most of our sickness. And the other is the sustainable food system, which includes among its components care for the environment, care for health, care for workers. It's a more complicated system in that it takes in more variables. And here are some depictions. It's a feedlot. And there are two different global attitudes towards how we ought to eat and how we ought to work. One is the WTO, which is the enshrinement of neoliberal economics. And the point of view of a lot of people in the street who think that neoliberal economics doesn't take into consideration enough values or considerations. And remember Seattle, we demonstrated there, and Cancun, we took apart the wall, and in Hong Kong, we collapsed. And one of the key perspectives that we're looking at is the fact of concentration in our global food system. Only a few companies control most food processing, which ends up influencing dramatically the production of food by farmers. And these materials are the familiar materials from Mary Hendrickson of University of Missouri in Columbia and Bill Heffernan, Professor Emeritus. We know that a lot of these companies have a lot of subsidiarities. It's very hard to keep up with these facts and figures because just as soon as you think you've finished the process of consolidation, along comes JBS from Brazil, and they buy out Five River Farms here in Colorado. I've been there with the largest feedlot in the world, and now the rumors are that they're looking at expanding their protein base by shifting and maybe buying out Smithfield. So it's hard to keep up because concentration continues. Walmart has become one of the very largest food purveyors in the world. And why do they concentrate? They concentrate to get control of more of the dollars. And more of the dollars means more power. So it's increasingly true that a retailer like Walmart can call the shots all the way down below. And we're just hearing about Walmart coming into Iowa and going to tame the Iowa farmer and help them grow good local food. I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be, you know, local, but I'm not sure whether the farmers who have a tradition, I lived there for 13 years, of independence, might feel constrained by the you know, by the requirements that are placed upon them by Walmart. And even products like organic production, which we at one time thought was going to be the savior of the small farmer, the largest purveyor of organic food is Walmart. So on it goes. These companies are increasingly concentrating in grains, in meat, and in advertising, huh? But part of the impact of concentration is, in fact, the growth in problems of public health, obesity. So you concentrate Iowa corn production, and you end up with significant amounts of sugar, sweeteners, non-sugar sweeteners going into our soda. And these are put in schools, and et cetera, et cetera. We know that back in the early 80s, the United States began to dismantle nutrition requirements in school food. And we know the same thing happened in England with Margaret Thatcher, taking out all requirements for nutrition in school food. And so we can actually date, and I have a slide from Marion Nestle, on this, dating the growth in obesity in young people from the deregulation of food and especially school food. So we need to do something about the way our food system works, because we're recognizing increasingly that this concentration has given us bad health. Salmonella. Mary Nestle of the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health at New York University, author of Food Policy and What to Eat, is a member, or was a member with me, of the Pew Commission on Industrial Farm Animal Production. And she did tour several factory farms and said, it's hard to explain unless you actually see one of these places. Try to imagine an enormous warehouse as long as two or three more city blocks, packed with hundreds of thousands of chickens, and that's free range. Otherwise, they're caged, 6 to 9 in a cage, and if one gets sick, they all get sick. The structure of the production systems are really amazing to be seen. And we had market-side grab-and-grow sandwiches by Walmart recalled over Listeria. And you have hunger around the world and collapsing neighborhoods at home. And that's because we've concentrated so much of our food in so few hands. There is an alternative, sustainable agriculture is an alternative, and all these companies now claim to be sustainable. You know, as the consumer goes, so the companies go. Even on campuses, I mentioned I was here for the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Public Education. We had 2,500 people here. So we have a crisis of hunger as well at home as well as abroad. And consumers are confused because everybody nowadays says that they're sustainable. And the Keystone Center held meetings helping companies get the sustainability, you know, language. And so they've held conferences. Full page ad, produce more, consume more, wear sustainable agriculture. Sustainable Beef Conference in early November. And you can't talk about food. We got food disparagement laws, laws curtailing local control overseas, all these dueling visions of an industrial or sustainable food system. And the environmental, United Nations says for developing countries, we don't need industrial ag. We can get along very well without it. Thank you very much. But that's not the policy of the current State Department. We're adjusting somewhat at Congress. We're looking at maybe changing the way we do global food security. And I'm just going to say there's a local food movement. There's an international assessment of science and technology and development that says we need to go to agroecology. So there is an ongoing debate about local foods and about health and about developing a people's food system, especially with food policy councils. But my local, Starbucks is now local. In Seattle, it has a 13th Street Cafe. You know, they're going local by taking the name and the logo off and saying, you know, we're local coffee. Business Alliance for Living Local Economies is trying to promote an alternative vision. As I said, food policy councils, food charters are trying to promote an alternative vision. And scientific studies show that there are harms to communities. University of Ohio, Linda Labau, says that industrial ag has given us a lot of bad health. And so we need to try to change things. And I'm asked to speak about changing. There's that ad from Mary Nessel documenting the growth of obesity from deregulation. And there is the Supreme Court. This is the new NASCAR Supreme Court promoting corporate funds. That's part of the problem. What can we do? Well, close the loopholes. Take on the powers that be. Get people who have more integrity aren't in the pockets of corporations. Working on campaign of reform. And long-term reform, try to get antitrust regulations in place. Right now, there's a big fight going on because the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Justice are holding listening sessions around the country. And now the American Meat Institute tomorrow is going to have a press conference telling the USDA why their economics are all bad. And the Organization for Competitive Markets, of which I am a member, we'll have a meeting tomorrow at the same place saying why the USDA is going in the right direction this time with this effort. So try to level the playing field, break up monopolies, make markets fair, pricing and contract policies need scrutiny, ensure food security, agriculture reserves, more healthy food, make it accessible, rebuild local infrastructures, make smart government purchases, build regional food systems, support sustainable farming, promote environmental stewardship. These are some things that we can do to make a healthy food system possible. And I'll end with a few nutrition facts. Thank you.